Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Lu, coming up in this edition. Outrage from the White House as US President Joe Biden has threatened to reconsider future support for Israel unless it takes steps to avoid aid worker and civilian deaths in Gaza. Somalia has expelled Ethiopia's ambassador and ordered the closure of two consulates over what it calls interference from its neighbor. And US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has attended roundtable talks with international business leaders in southern China on her second trip to the country in nearly 9 months. We begin with the Middle East. U.S. President Joe Biden says future U.S. support for Israel depends on the Jewish state's new steps to protect civilians and aid workers. Biden relayed the message in a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. This is their first talk since an Israeli attack killed 7 international aid workers in Gaza. Israel cited misidentification in the attack and now says they will adjust tactics. Hours after their phone talk, Israel said it will allow temporary aid deliveries via its border with northern Gaza. International condemnation continues to grow over the deaths of those aid workers. A Hamas leader says Egypt has put forward a ceasefire proposal, but it contains nothing new. Associated Press correspondent Sam Menick has more from Jerusalem.
There continued to be widespread international condemnation on Thursday about the killing of these aid workers earlier this week. Founder of World Central Kitchen, Jose Andreas, is calling for an independent investigation. He said Israel needs to preserve documents as well as images and photos, and he's calling on the other countries whose aid workers were killed to join him. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he pushed back on Netanyahu's comments where he said that this just happens in war. Trudeau said this doesn't just happen in war and this shouldn't just happen. And the Polish government is calling on Israel to pay compensation to the family of their aid worker who was also killed. Now, Israel has acknowledged these attacks and said that it was a mistake following misidentification. Netanyahu had a conversation with U.S. President Joe Biden. Biden said that the killing of humanitarians and the overall humanitarian situation in Gaza was unacceptable. And he called on Israel to implement tangible, measurable steps in order to decrease the risk to civilians. Now, while this is going on, attacks are continuing across Gaza. More than 33,000 people have been killed since the beginning of the war. On Wednesday evening, there was a strike that hit the southern city of Rafah, killing at least 6 people, including several children, one as young as 1. Now, while all this is continuing, the ceasefire talks that have been on and off look again to be stalled.
After the last round in Cairo, the occupation government is still evading. And so, the negotiations are moving in a vicious circle as the occupation still rejects the demands of our people and our legitimate resistance for a comprehensive ceasefire, a withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, the return of displaced persons, or even a serious prisoner exchange.
These on-again, off-again talks have been going on for months, and some conflict analysts I've spoken to said it's settling into somewhat of a stalemate. Neither side really looks like they want to seal the deal. And for Netanyahu, if he agrees to a permanent ceasefire, they say that it's the equivalent of him saying that he's been defeated.
Now, Sam Menick on the Israel-Palestine conflict. In the Caribbean, the United Nations says an estimated 53,000 people have fled Haiti because of the violence over the past 3 weeks. There's a political void as gangs launch daily attacks in the capital, Port-au-Prince. Amid the chaos, frontline workers are trying to deliver key services such as healthcare and food to the most vulnerable parties and areas. Harold Isaac reports.
Violence spirals out of control in Haiti, and a hunger crisis worsens. Humanitarian workers remain steadfast, but for how long? Gangs reportedly control some 90% of Port-au-Prince. Getting basic supplies to the people in need is not easy, and many fear that unless security is restored, the situation could collapse even further, and the little aid that is getting through will stop.
Depending on the reality and accessing the area to allow for our team to stay safe, and alive to serve the kids and continue to protect and accompany them, for the plumpy not to make it to them on time, so that the nurses can follow their evolution and continue to do screening in order to really accompany those kids in their community.
The situation in Haiti remains very fragile. Access to the main general hospital of the country is cut off due to gang violence. As per a report from UNICEF from March 2024, 1.1 million women and children are in need of nutrition assistance. More than 125,000 children are expected to suffer from acute malnutrition, and one in four children from chronic malnutrition.
The Organization of Hearts for Change for Deprived Children of Haiti, a partner of UNICEF, is training people in a challenging environment. Day in and day out, these workers are committed to making a difference, especially for women and children.
It's the accompaniment of those children, especially those in the most difficult neighborhoods, that are the most vulnerable, because when they fall victims, they are most likely to be weaponized and likely to end up turning into what we are seeing today, which is not good for anybody.
With the main port and international airport largely closed, the demand for nutrition and health care remains a challenge.
That was Harold Isaac on the crisis in Haiti. Now turning to Africa. Somalia has sent the Ethiopian ambassador in Mogadishu back home and closed two consulates for what it described as a violation of its sovereignty by Addis Ababa. This further deteriorates an already tense situation between the two countries. Mohamed Kahiye has more details from Mogadishu.
The decisions regarding Ethiopian consulates and ambassador on Thursday take the diplomatic ties between two neighboring countries to a new low following months of tensions. Authorities say the move is a response to Addis Ababa's blatant interference in Mogadishu's domestic affairs.
Starting from April 4, 2024, the federal government of Somalia has closed down and retracted permission to operate four Ethiopian consulates in the cities of Garowe and Hargeisa. The missions must be closed within a one-week period. All diplomatic staff operating at these two consulates must also leave the country within 1 week.
Relations between Somalia and Ethiopia soared when the Ethiopian government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed announced signing of an agreement to build a port and naval base with Somalia's northern region of Somaliland, which declared independence from Somalia in early 1990s, a move that is still not recognized. On Wednesday, Ethiopia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said it received a delegation from semi-autonomous region of Puntland in Somalia and discussed ways to cooperate, particularly in security areas. In what seems to be a response, the Somali Ministry of Foreign Affairs ordered the Ethiopian ambassador to leave.
The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is hereby directed to submit this official document to the Ethiopian government and inform its ambassador in Somalia to leave for his country for consultations.
In February, while in Addis Ababa, the president of Somalia blamed Ethiopian government for trying to block his access to African Union headquarters. During a summit there, Addis Ababa denied the claim. Efforts by the Intergovernmental Authority on Development member states of Djibouti and Kenya to bring the two leaders closer and resolve impasse are ongoing. Somalia maintains that Ethiopia must cancel the deal with Somaliland first.
That was Mohamed Kahiye reporting from Mogadishu. Finally, in Asia, Chinese Vice Premier He Lifeng has met visiting U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in Guangzhou. Yellen also attended roundtable talks with business leaders in Guangzhou as part of her six-day visit to China. Other key issues on her agenda include meetings with economic experts and top Chinese officials. Zhen Chunying has more from Guangzhou.
There's a very packed schedule ahead for Secretary Yellen in China, with four full days of meetings with high-level Chinese officials, including Premier Li Qiang, Finance Minister Lan Fuan, the People's Bank of China Governor Pan Gongsheng, and so on. And among the topics to be discussed are the points of disagreements between the two powers. For instance, the broadening of U.S.'s technological restrictions on China, and also on the U.S. side, what Yellen claims that China's industrial overcapacity will also be raised. And apart from these, during these meetings, Yellen is also expected to seek more opportunities for cooperation with China on issues like countering illicit finance, bolstering financial stability, addressing climate change, and resolving debt distress. And we know that the U.S. Treasury Secretary's travel come right after U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping had their first call in 5 months earlier this Tuesday. It was meant to demonstrate a return to a regular leader-to-leader dialogue between the two powers. And let's not forget that there had been almost a year's break in communication between the two sides until President Biden and President Xi met last year in San Francisco. So Yellen's trip this time add to the stability in the China-U.S. relationship, giving a sense that a communication can continue even amid those disagreements.
That's Zheng Chunying on China-U.S. relations. Rescuers in Taiwan are still searching for survivors after the devastating earthquake earlier this week. They have successfully rescued some trapped people. At least 12 people are confirmed dead. Meanwhile, a big cleanup effort is underway as people try to resume their daily lives. Patrick Falk reports from near the epicenter in Hualien.
Rescue efforts following Taiwan's biggest quake in a quarter of a century are paying off. Official video released on Thursday shows airlift teams plucking miners to safety. Around 70 of them have been trapped in two separate rock quarries. Local media reports also say some members of a group of hotel employees who were trapped in a convoy of minibuses after the quake struck have found their way to safety. The others, reportedly, are in good health. In Hualien City, near the epicenter of the quake, people are picking up the pieces. Crockery stalls at a local market are doing brisk business. Many people's china shattered when the tremor struck on Wednesday morning. The owner of one stall, named Mr. Zhang, says he's offering a 10% discount to customers.
We've got a lot of stuff piled up and it's all a mess, so we're asking customers to clear out some stock.
Close by, authorities are demolishing unsalvageable buildings. Several have been leaning on heavy tilts.
That's important because of the risk of aftershocks. These structures leaning precariously pose a threat to people so long as they aren't brought down.
Despite the severity of the earthquake, measuring over magnitude 7 on the Richter scale, experts say the damage has been relatively contained. Strict building codes and regular drills at schools and workplaces have helped. Volunteer Huang Yaonan was among those that rushed to this scene in Hualien the day before.
They all gathered, set up tents because the roads from Taipei were blocked. So the teams from Kaohsiung and Pingdong could only come from the south. They brought rescue personnel and even search and rescue dogs along with their equipment.
Authorities remain on alert for aftershocks. There are fears of further rockfalls and landslides. Thursday marks Qingming, also known as Tomb Sweeping Festival. People have been warned not to go to mountainous areas while paying respects to their ancestors and loved ones.
That was Patrick Falk on life in Taiwan after the strongest earthquake in the region in 25 years. Recapping today's headlines, US President Joe Biden has threatened to reconsider future support for Israel unless it takes steps to avoid aid worker and civilian deaths in Gaza. Somalia has expelled Ethiopia's ambassador and ordered the closure of two consulates over what it calls interference from its neighbor. And U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has attended roundtable talks with international business leaders in southern China on her second trip to the country in nearly 9 months. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.